I had an uncle who cried himself to sleep. Yes, it's quite a true story, and it ended badly. That is to say, one night, he cried himself to death. He was close to 40, a former athlete of Olympic stature. In my father's house, there are still gold trophies received while he was in England for the Olympics of some year. He was quite handsome, Negro, but a real double for Marlon Brando. A story runs through my family that one day, on a street in Philadelphia, my uncle and Marlon Brando passed each other and stopped, each stunned by the resemblance. He was quite fair anyway, a light brown, but with the same brooding Brando-esque face, the pouty jowl around the cheeks and mouth, the disappointed eyes moody and restless. He was my favorite uncle. It is difficult to separate this story from the slight props of race necessary to bolster it up. I have said he was Negro, a track star of some standing, a double for Marlon Brando. He had, too, an exquisite wife of such mixed breeding that her skin was the palest white imaginable, hair black and silky, her features keen. As children, my sister and I idolized them. To have such a stunning aunt and uncle. And they loved us, too. We spent many summers in the small southern New Jersey town where they lived, in the house that once belonged to my grandmother and now belonged to them. They were always quite broke. I remember once my sister and I turned over the last of our pennies to pay the electric bill while a worker stood in the doorway ready to cut it off. But that only added to their magic in our eyes. To be broke but still so handsome and beautiful. Lazy and generous. For my uncle could no longer run because of the severe asthma attacks that had just begun. And already he had the habit of reclining for days at a time on the living room couch and never moving. And my aunt never worked. It seems that I can recall stretches of days when my sister and I would wake up, go into their bedroom, and the four of us would lie there for hours, laughing and hearing stories. My aunt loved to talk about sex. Without her, I still might not know its place in the full scheme of procreation. And my uncle loved to order huge submarine sandwiches, hot chocolate, powdered donuts, and ice cream from the luncheonette around the corner, and lie in bed eating and talking. When I take the hollowed filter away from those snug summer days, I see now that already he had lost the will to struggle with life, and that my aunt was a lazy, spoiled woman who thought her fair, almost white skin would save her. I lost touch with my family early. Went abroad for several years, came back married, and began a family of my own. But my father's letters told of my uncle's slow disintegration, his off-again, on-again jobs as a track coach at various colleges and recreation centers, his long, paralytic bouts of depression when he took to his bed for weeks at a time and cried day and night. I saw him only once during those years, at my parents' summer home, where I came to spend a few weeks after the birth of my first child. He came in the front door as I was coming down the steps. He looked the same to me, except the brooding Brando looks had deepened. The sad pout now creased his forehead and beneath his eyes, and made his mouth droop a little more. But I was fascinated by this deepening, perhaps because I was still young enough to be attracted to sorrow. Then a strange thing happened. In the middle of the night, he woke me up, shook me awake with his violent crying and sobbing, and begged me to come downstairs and talk with him. I did. We sat up the rest of the night, and he cried with only slight coherent moments in between, when he would mumble about my aunt, how she had turned out to be stupid, lazy, no real help to him, how he had never amounted to anything, never been able to count on anyone. How he could cry. Give in to his crying, allow it full possession of his being, as if life were a vast well of tears, and one must cry to be at the center of it. My father came down, awakened by us, angry and furious at his brother for putting me through such an ordeal.